Who said wholesale should be an afterthought? Wholesale continues to be the most profitable investment channel for brands, accounting for an average of 60% of total company sales. That's why New Order by Lightspeed is bringing smarter B2B buying and selling to the forefront of brands and retailers' minds with a commerce platform that helps them grow and win together. Discover how New Order's wholesale and retail assortment solutions can help you compete thoughtfully and deliver exceptional buying experiences. Learn more at neworder.com. That's NUORDER.com. Thanks for tuning into the Glossy Podcast. I'm your host, Jill Manoff, and today I sit down with Michelle Kelly, CEO of Lilly Pulitzer, the 65-year-old fashion brand with a focus on resort wear. As Michelle has been with the company for 20 years, including 8 years in the CEO role, I wanted to ask her about the advantages of leading a company where she's risen through the ranks. I also want to know how the brand is managing to earn new customers while staying true to its rich heritage, and to what extent the recent travel boom has worked to the brand's advantage. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you for having me, Jill. It's wonderful to be here. Big fan of your podcast.
Oh, thanks so much. Thank you for being here. Let's talk your career path within Lilly Pulitzer. Was this, well, first of all, was there a job before Lilly Pulitzer, or this was out of the gate, out of college?
No, there was. So it's been such an interesting path and so much fun along the way. And I can't believe how time has flown. So I graduated from college. I had studied business as an undergrad, was actually an accounting major, and went into consulting rather than accounting, and enjoyed 2 years with McKinsey & Company, traveled all over, had incredible mentors. But I think I always felt like my clients were the ones having all the real fun because they got to do the work and do the hands-on things. So I set out in search of something that could be more hands-on, went to business school to get my MBA. And then it was after that that I joined Lilly Pulitzer. The company was quite different back then. It was 2004. And I just really fell in love with I'd already fallen in love with the brand as a customer, but then I fell in love with the idea of learning the business behind it. So I was very grateful that without any apparel experience and no real sales experience, the owners of the brand at the time took a chance on me to join the company. And I picked up and moved to where we're located now outside of Philadelphia and just dove right in. So I started in sales. That was my first job with Lilly, but as you point out, not my first job. So I'm extra, cannot believe how time has flown.
Am I correct that your path within the company, it maybe wasn't a direct line, like it wasn't like promotion. You kind of bounced around within the company. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I think if I describe it more like a spiral staircase than a career ladder because there were definitely a lot of side-to-side moves. And the company's changed so much over that 20-year period. So I started in sales and then was able to really kind of based on where the company was headed. I think it was somewhat planned, but also very opportunistic. I was able to take on roles in marketing, in merchandising, in licensing. And then we got to the point where we were getting really serious about building out our direct-to-consumer model. And this was after I'd been there probably 4 or 5 years. So I knew just enough about the company and had certainly been studying our customers and knew a lot about our product and our brand. That I really felt like I could help on building out the store model and the e-commerce model. So I was fortunate enough to get those opportunities. And ever since then, I would say it was really a, you know, what did the company need and where could I contribute? And to your point, it was not always a, this is the next promotion or this is what's next in line. And there were times where I think I felt like, am I moving up? What's going on? Am I moving out? Am I moving more? Like, how am I growing as a person and as a professional? And I'm glad I didn't worry about it too much because, of course, it all worked out and was very fortunate to be able to step into the CEO role in early 2016. And that was after several years after the company had been sold. We're now a division of Oxford Industries. And the co-founders had stepped away. So really have been in this seat since early 2016. And you know what? That hasn't been a straight line either. That is, we've had all kinds of twists and turns over the time period, but it has always been fun. The challenges when you know, being part of this brand, the challenges always come with a dose of optimism and happiness and resilience, since that's what the brand is really built on.
I mean, talk about leading a company through a wild time. Lucky you. But what would you say that that experience pre C-suite level within the company, like, tell me about the benefit that's afforded you as the leader. And like, I mean, can you know too much? You might know too much.
That is a great question. Certainly some of the great points, or, you know, pros, if we're looking at pros and cons, the pros of having been with a company so long and having done so many things kind of really from the ground up. The overwhelming pro is that our team is tight, and I've got, you know, I've been able to develop really a strong sense of the way we operate, you know, who we kind of, everything that we've built over at least the past 20 years, you know, I have some knowledge into how it was done and you know, kind of how we got there. So that's been really good. Of course, the functional knowledge of how different departments work has been really helpful. And I think that comes, it provides a confidence in, you know, knowing that we can change, since we have changed and have been successful at some of the change. I think that helps with some of the, you know, more natural, maybe fear of change that could creep in. On the flip side, I think, sure, it's probably a little bit hard to think about change when the perspective of time becomes a factor, and you know, the fact that the brand has been around for 65 years, that can feel like a tremendous it's a tremendous amount of time and a lot of things that the brand has tried. And then, of course, within the different corporate evolutions of the company, each of those chapters has had a long time. And so finding ways to make sure that I am thinking about each of those chapters with all the respect and humility that comes with knowing that, you know, in the scheme of things, I've only been here a small slice of the brand's time. That's very powerful, certainly quite humbling. But I also, you know, the world doesn't ever let anyone in a leadership position forget that we do need to keep moving forward. And it is all about changing and innovating and staying fresh for the customer, you know, doing that within the context of a brand with 65 years of total history is pretty fun and exciting.
It's awesome. You've spoken about the evolution of the brand. Was the biggest change when the brand was acquired by Oxford Industries? And what was the impact on the company at that point?
Oh, great question. You know, it was a long time ago now. It was the end of 2010, and it was transformational. I think, first of all, Oxford Industries owned Tommy Bahama at the time that they acquired us. They owned some other brands too, but and had other businesses. But Tommy Bahama was immediately a big brother in a way, and I mean that in a good way. A kind of an older brother to us. So there was a lot of learning and a lot of, you know, kind of it opened up a different window to learning about how other companies, you know, had done things. There was just, you know, great people within Oxford at every level that we got to become, you know, now friendly with and work closely with. So they've been, you know, just wonderful mentors and supporters. And at the same time, you know, they've done a great transformation of the overall Oxford business. So we've been able to, you know, really see transformation over a long period of time, you know, done with patience, done with integrity. And I think that has been one of the nicest parts about being a division of Oxford.
Tell me about the evolution of the brand in general. Did it start? I said it a focus on resort wear. I have a hunch that's where it started, and maybe you were selling in resorts, but I don't know. I'm just making this up. How you've definitely had a lot of category expansion. I know, like expansion to a bunch of retail at one point. Would love to know the state of the company and the evolution from day one. Where have we gone from to?
Yes. So Lily's story of founding the brand 65 years ago is a pretty incredible one. The short version is that she set out to improve her life. She began selling juice in Palm Beach, which is where she lived, but she was spilling on herself and wanted to create a dress that would hide the stains, keep her feeling cool and comfortable in the Florida sun, the Palm Beach heat, and also look polished. And those three elements are still part of our DNA and our product strategy. We aren't as worried about people hiding stains from the juice, but what came of that 65 years ago is the, you know, commitment to happy colors, happy prints, optimistic colors that were very natural to what Lily was doing 65 years ago. So that continues to be a part of the brand's DNA. As is, we've, you know, continued our commitment to being a resort wear brand, and that really stems from the heritage of needing to find clothing that would be comfortable yet polished. So those things we're still very true to. Now, everything beyond that or within those guardrails, I think, has been on the table and up for grabs, and we've had a lot of change. So since the last time I was lucky enough to be a guest on the Glossy podcast, we have launched swimwear. We've really built up our athletic business that has now a real focus within golf and tennis. But overall, athletic wear has just become a bigger part of our customers' lives. Even back then, she was certainly wearing a lot of athletic wear on vacation, and we saw the opportunity. But now it's certainly, you know, impacted her life in other ways. And of course, our dress business is where the heart and soul of the brand lives. And we have really expanded our offering. What used to be, you know, primarily the whole brand is built on the classic shift styling that was the original dress of the brand, the original key product. We now do all kinds of, you know, we do knits, we do linen, we have throw-on dresses, we have you know, dresses at every price point. We just did a beautiful collaboration with Badgley Mischka, and we also did a beautiful anniversary capsule. And both of those were actually in celebration of our anniversary year this year. Both of those were at, you know, elevated price points with just incredible detail and textures. So our dress business can really run the gamut. We absolutely have a dress for anyone's needs that may come to us.
Are more collaborations coming this year in celebration?
Ooh, we've had a bunch. And it's been so fun. I think that really the theme for at least the first half of our anniversary year was capsules and collabs. We didn't brand it that way, but that has been really fun. So we have just launched Lily by Moke America. And I don't know if anyone has seen these on the road yet, but a printed vehicle, a low-speed vehicle. So that is really exciting. We have a print with purpose with the First Tee, an incredible organization focused on building confidence in girls through the world of golf. And then, of course, Natalie's Juice. I hope we have at least sent you some, or you've gotten your hands on it through Publix or Whole Foods or anywhere, but just the most delicious juice that was being made. And what a great tie-in to our story of hiding the juice stains from the beginning.
Yes. Was that ever part of a marketing? Spill on yourself.
right.
Oh my gosh. Interesting that you're, I understand why you would go into golf and tennis. And it seems like it's such a two hot categories right now. And your customer, I got to ask, I think of her as being preppy, or I don't know, who is your customer and why is that a fit for you?
You know, I think our customer is anyone who likes color and lives on the bright side of life. So we're really thrilled and honored to have so many customers doing different things and thinking of Lily Pulitzer as they do them. So no question, she is a social butterfly. She is a friendly person. She's active in her community. And those are the common traits that we see among our customers. She also, we're so lucky to have a multi-generational customer. I think that, you know, Lilly is one of the few brands where you can show up to a family gathering or, you know, a wedding or a graduation, and you are definitely, it would not be unusual to see three, maybe even four generations wearing Lilly.
Yes, no doubt. Is targeting Gen Z or a younger customer, is that a large focus and a big initiative? I don't, like, she's there, it sounds like, multi-generational, but I don't know, going after the youngins.
She's definitely there. She's a part of our mix. I think, you know, because we're resort inspired, we study the rhythms of, you know, what brings people to resort wear as a big part of our customer research. So there is a reality of having a little bit more time, a little bit more focus on travel, and a little bit less tied to the academic calendar once, you know, a woman is a little bit older. So more of the, you know, older millennials and Gen X are probably the ones who are enjoying resort wear now more than Gen Z. But we know that we're there for her happy times, and Gen Z does have happy times in her life. So we're definitely there for her, and we hope that she keeps thinking of us throughout. But, you know, we keep it in perspective.
Yes. Well, everyone's traveling more post-pandemic. If we are post, tell me about the impact on the business and kind of the state of resort wear. I feel like you are a traditional resort wear brand in terms of resort in the traditional definition, whereas as opposed to just pre-spring is what everyone refers to as resort. I don't know. First of all, who's your competition in terms of resort wear, and to what extent is, let's go then to the travel effect.
Yes. So great questions. First of all, I think that And I agree with the way you said it, post-pandemic, if we are post, because right, we're still feeling that, you know, normalization of habits. And I don't think we've fully, you know, gone back to some of the shopping habits. So, of course, studying the shopping and the travel habits of our customer is a huge part of what we do. And what we have seen is, for sure, there was a travel there have been a lot of changes in the travel habits. You know, first of all, we saw customers really flock to warm weather locations, maybe not for travel, but to live and spend time full time there, especially in kind of the, you know, late 2020 throughout 2021 time period. So that changed some of the dynamics out of the gates. Then, of course, after that, I think we saw just a variety of travel habits that I would just say they were not. You know, travel is one of those things that we like I said, we study it pretty well and pretty regularly, but there are some really seasonal rhythms, and those were all just kind of shaken up during, I would say, from 2020 to, you know, kind of right now. And we'll see how the rest of the year evolves. But the travel habits, our team really had to just be agile and kind of open to learning what the customer was doing. And, you know, she kept us on our toes and continues to. So that's an overarching, you know, statement of how we've really just had to pay attention to where she's spending time, where the, you know, phone calls are coming in from, where what people are saying, to understand how our customer is spending her time with travel. That said, you know, we have 60 stores and certainly more than half of them are in what I would call warm weather locations. They're not all Florida, but Florida, Texas, Hawaii, California, we are really lucky. And that was, of course, before the pandemic, you know, to have a real focus on warm weather that is true to our DNA in the first place. And certainly those markets have been really strong for us, you know, throughout the arc of the past 4 years. So we'll hopefully see that continue. But as you mentioned, also a lot of competition. And I think the lines between are you dressing for vacation or just wearing a flowy dress that has a bright print in it, you know, in you know, any day where it's possibly weather appropriate, I think a lot of those lines have been blurred. So that has kept us on our toes as well.
That's so interesting. I just received a pitch for a brand that was launching a resort-focused brand, like a second brand. I guess it's not a brand that was launching it, a gentleman, a designer that's launching a resort brand. And I was wondering, that's interesting that it's not just travel. I was like, okay, leaning into the travel boom, but where people are moving and people are now living, that is huge.
Yes. And we just love to, you know, in a lot of ways, Lilly was the originator of American resort wear. So, you know, it looks different today than it did back then, but we will always, you know, remain grounded in our roots and think about and hopefully remind our customers that we've had a lot of years of practice at this. And no matter how many new brands and new competitors may be popping into this space, we really have a long history of doing it and doing it well. And there's a quality and you know, precision in the product development that we've built over many years. And we're really proud of that.
We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. Who said wholesale should be an afterthought? Wholesale continues to be the most profitable investment channel for brands, accounting for an average of 60% of total company sales. That's why New Order by Lightspeed is bringing smarter B2B buying and selling to the forefront of brands and retailers' minds with a commerce platform that helps them grow and win together. With New Order by Lightspeed, buyers and sales reps are empowered with data, powerful integrations, and features that eliminate hassles in the market-to-order process. This platform allows them to focus on what truly counts, delivering the right products to the right customers at the right times. What started in 2011 as a sales rep tool to help brands process orders right on a trade show, market, or showroom floor has evolved into a full commerce suite trusted by over 3,000 wholesale brands and 500,000 retail buyers, as well as some of the largest department stores in the world. Now they help companies all across the world process tens of billions in gross merchandise volume every year. Discover how New Order's wholesale and retail assortment solutions can help you compete thoughtfully and deliver exceptional buying experiences, driving more sales, higher sell-through, and fewer markdowns. Learn more at neworder.com. That's NUORDER.com.
Michelle, random question, but I just thought of it because it would be so perfect. Does Lilly Pulitzer have a presence in Palm Royale? You should. Get in touch with this costume designer. It would be so fabulous.
It's so fun to see the excitement for Palm Beach fashion and really thinking about how Palm Beach has always been an epicenter of fashion. So it's really fun to watch that going on.
So fun. Well, tell me about your marketing mix in general, whether it's on a show or on influencers or, I don't know, traditional.
Absolutely. I think you're hitting on a great point that there are so many different ways now to market a brand and how to get in touch with a customer and then, you know, how to stay in touch with her and how keep her excited. So if you had asked me, you know, 5 years ago, I probably would have said, you know, we were so focused on digital advertising, which we were and have been, and no question, that's been wonderful. If you'd asked me 10 years before, I would have said we were all about catalog. And I think right now, what I will say for sure is that we have a really balanced mix that I'm really proud of. And I think it took us a while to figure out this balance. And of course, the way that customers consume media has evolved. So maybe we've just, you know, kind of evolved with it. But right now we have a really balanced media mix. We have our, you know, now I would call it traditional digital advertising. But we just relaunched our catalog after taking a break from it for a few years. And that has been fantastic. I think the customer missed our having a catalog. We also just created our first commercial. And we don't call it a commercial, but it is a commercial. And it's a video that was designed for really a full funnel marketing approach. And it's really fun. The theme of it is when what you want doesn't exist, create it. And that is, of course, very relevant to how the brand began 65 years ago. But it's also what our customers are doing today. They're waking up, leading these, you know, joyful, optimistic lives, even when they are faced with challenges. And they're thinking, okay, how do I get, you know, in the right frame of mind for what I have to tackle today? And we're so fortunate that sometimes Lilly is top of mind for that. I want to pop into Lilly and see my friends and you know, find something that can be a pick-me-up. And we're just, you know, so grateful to have that place in our customers' lives. And this upper funnel video, or full funnel video, aka commercial, is really designed to do that. So that's out and about in the market kind of all over right now.
Nice. And do you mean it's more like on a cable network? It would be more like TV streaming, like a streaming app.
Mm-hmm. It's on streaming. It's on streaming. Okay. It's in, you know, all kinds of places. We had to do many cuts. I don't remember the specific number, but, you know, there was all this great art and science behind how we could get to the number of, you know, 6-second cuts and 12-second cuts. And of course, my favorite is the 30-second cut that, you know, we'll hope customers watch because that gives us the most depth.
For sure. Well, tell me about your stores and where sales are happening. Did you say 60 stores? And are you also in still working with retail partners?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. So I also feel really good about the balance in our overall selling mix right now. It's probably more balanced than it's been. It's not one dimensional. We're not all anything right now. We're very balanced. So our total mix, we're 85% direct to consumer, combination of stores and our e-commerce business, and then 15% wholesale. We have, you know, over just wonderful accounts. We have over 50 independent boutiques that carry a really healthy amount of Lily that we call our signature stores. They're very important to our whole mix. And then we're in several department stores and really kind of, you know, run the gamut of several longstanding partnerships we've had there. We're also in, you know, golf clubs and, you know, really, and hotels. And we really try to be anywhere where the customer will think of us. And of course, many of those locations make more sense to do wholesale. Within our DTC mix, we're about 2/3 digital and 1/3 stores. So yeah, 60 stores, many in the state of Florida, as it mentioned, also Texas, California, Hawaii. So a lot of warm weather locations, but we have a great business in New England as well. A ton of stores up here. And we find that customers are shopping, you know, before her trip. She may be shopping while she's on vacation. And then, you know, sometimes she's popping in to you know, exchange something that didn't work out. And those kind of interactions can happen anywhere.
For sure. Well, is your take different? Because I was going to ask about the store experience and how you think about it in terms of like beyond a point of sale. If they're a destination and maybe you're not like using the stores to build a community like maybe some others, and maybe there aren't as many events because they're such destination locations. Anyway, tell me about your approach to a store.
Yes. So we have both. And you raise a great point that it probably is more complicated because of that. But we actually really think about both of those models. So no question, you know, when anyone hops into a Lily store, I hope they are greeted with fun and a great environment. And it is absolutely, you know, about more than, you know, just kind of picking up what they might need for the day or the event that they're shopping for. We have the best team in retail. Our team is happy and optimistic and so hard driving and just, you know, really cares about our customers. So can't say enough good things about the experience that our team is able to offer in our stores. It's also, I mean, it's visually engaging, I think, more than the average, for sure. Our stores, our fitting rooms are painted by one of our print designers. So there's often hand painting. There are shell details. I don't think I've met a wall that isn't covered with something fabulous, whether it's grass cloth wallpaper or hand-painted print. So the stores are visually engaging. Our team is awesome. They're bringing a great energy. And that makes it really fun, even before you get to all the fabulous clothing that, of course, we have. And that's, you know, often the main event. So to your point, many of our stores are in resort locations. I think of our Key West store. Customers are coming in and they might be leaving that day. They might be having to get back on a cruise ship to continue their fabulous vacation. And then, of course, we have stores that can be more neighborhood, like the one that is near my home. And we'll certainly have more planned events and a different type of community. But I do think anytime someone pops into a Lily store, they're not surprised to feel some good energy coming from the other customers. And whether that's, you know, Key West, where it's a different group of customers every single day, or a, you know, more neighborhood store where we've, you know, been able to develop more of those long-standing relationships with our customers. The energy is good and it's fun and it's positive, and you've got people cheering each other on in the kind of fitting room area and saying, that looks great on you. You're here, try this. It didn't fit me, but you should try it. And I just love that energy so much. It's really critical to our whole brand ethos.
Yay for positivity and joy. I like to hear it. Oh my gosh. And were people hungry for this, like height of the pandemic? People want to be out of the doldrums. They're seeking out color, or is it just me?
I think I'm wearing bright pink today, as you can see. So bright pink.
Great.
We do color really well, and we love when our customers can get a real pick-me-up from what we do.
On the flip side, I got to ask, what's challenging you now? That's not very positive, but.
You know, it's great. I love that question too. And I think, you know, the brand is built on this optimism and this, you know, view forward. And I said earlier that our customers look on the sunny side. But I also have to say, our customers, I am always blown away by the number of times in a single day that a customer comes in and they're seeking out Lily because there's something hard going on in their life. And I've really thought about, you know, the fact that the brand is built on optimism, but it's built on this desire to get through a challenging time and to solve you know, a challenge in one's life. And I take that really to heart. So as much as we are about happiness, I think a lot of times, you know, I keep in perspective that the customer coming to us for happiness might really need it because something challenging is going on. So with that, you know, I'll absolutely tackle the questions on challenges. We certainly have plenty. It's been a, you know, a wild time in the apparel and fashion business the past several years. But when isn't it? I feel like there's often, you know, some ups and downs in the business. So challenges that we're working on. We have the forever challenge of how do we, you know, really celebrate, especially in an anniversary year, how do we celebrate our heritage and even some of the nostalgia that people can be happy about with Lily, with that constant need to move forward and evolve and kind of keep staying fresh. So walking that line is one of our forever challenges for sure, but something we embrace and have a lot of fun with. I think, you know, the landscape of, there's been so much change in the retail landscape, as we talked about, you know, where people are living, where they're shopping, the balance of indoor versus outdoor shopping centers and who's getting traffic, you know, what some of the other, you know, some of the other dynamics in the industry, I think that's led to a lot of change in our store mix. So, you know, we have 60 stores right now, but that, you know, we've added stores and we've had to close stores. And, you know, that anytime we're closing a store, that's really difficult and hard. But so I think it, from a store count, it looks like we're kind of staying even, but there's really been a lot of change and there's been a dynamic nature to our store landscape with that, that kind of doesn't quite come out in the numbers.
Yes. Do the store closures largely reflect a move away from indoor malls?
You know, it's usually just more of the market dynamics. So for the most part, I would say we've, you know, moved locations within a market, not always indoor versus outdoor, because we actually have always had a lot of outdoor in our portfolio. But I think it's you know, just the way some of the dynamics have moved in a given market. So we're spending a lot of time really making sure we understand where people are shopping, and one mall that may have had a little more momentum and energy, you know, however many years later, may not feel as exciting. So yeah, I think we're about a third of our portfolio is indoor at this point, which is much lower than I think a lot of our, you know, brand peers or competitors. So we like that ratio. And again, it kind of started from more of a, that's what fit with the brand and where the stores can get natural light in to show the product really well. But it has been nice that that's our portfolio mix. So we're really happy with that.
Well, speaking about the wild retail landscape as it stands, even to have been a CEO role for 8-9 years, fantastic. Is it about consistent growth? Is that expected? Is that being achieved? Tell me about the state of the company. And I mean, oh, It's a lot of pressure on a CEO.
It is. It is. It's really, I mean, no question. We are always trying to move the ball forward. And I think our team, the way we handle it is we kind of break it down into smaller, digestible chunks. And that has served us really well. So we just, you know, shared our year-end results. So they're all public. I can tell you about them. We, you know, just grew 1% last year versus the year prior. And that felt, you know, not enough. And of course, we would have wanted more. But the fact that we move forward 1% is still consistent. It's kind of in that it helps us get, you know, really our arms around that consistency. And as long as we're moving the ball forward, that is really motivating and exciting. And our team really embraces that challenge and responsibility. So we will look to keep doing that. But no question, I really believe that there are more people out there who would love Lilly if they were introduced to it. And I still find so many people who haven't heard of it, and I know they would love it. And we just, you know, I really see the impact that we have in our customers' lives, and just am so grateful that we can hold that place in her life. And then I think about all the women who do need a pick me up someday, and they do love color, and they would love to be wearing a bright hot pink dress today and enjoying the sunshine and the good weather if they have it, or wearing it to give them a pick-me-up if it's cloudy outside. Either way, so I'm really optimistic about our ability to keep growing and you know, find ways to bring Lilly and happiness and color into so many more people's lives.
Exciting. I'm excited to see this, how the commercial does or works to that goal, and also the catalog. Is it going to some existing customers, kind of half and half, and some prospects
yes.
as well? Great.
Yep. We have a great agency working with us on all of the math. It's definitely a math, art, science combo when it comes to that. But we have mailed it to new folks in the world who've not really engaged with us before, prospects, as well as our existing customers who we know were happy to see it.
Fantastic. Specific goals for 2024 that we haven't discussed?
Well, we're so excited about everything anniversary, and that's just going to keep going. It's been such a fun drumbeat. I can't believe how much we've already done this first quarter in terms of anniversary activity, and that will keep going. In some ways, we're just getting started. We have really just completed, it's a bit of a buzzword right now, but I'll say it, the omnichannel transformation. We just relaunched several systems that were all designed to kind of tie together the customer's experience so that she wasn't, you know, didn't have to stand at our register and figure out where the product from this order was, or this is what she bought in stores. So we've, you know, really tried to streamline all of that and bring it together. And that is really hot off the press. We just launched our new order management system. So we've got our work cut out for us in terms of making sure that all works and that it's delivering the promise that we see to our customer with her customer experience.
I swear, I know it's like roll eyes buzzword, but I see so much potential in this omnichannel. Somebody at Google was talking about like, the opportunity in the near future to like integrate inventory with Google Maps. You can see like which store has the thing you need via Google Map. What? Anyway, it's exciting.
Absolutely. And there are so many tentacles. If you return something here, but you want it over here, but can you reserve it without having to pay for it? I mean, it's just so, there's so many different use cases of it. And it's really fun to see how creative customers are with their shopping. And maybe they don't want to pick it up. They just want to check and see if you have it. So yeah. You have to have those features. But it's been really fun learning about what's top of mind for our customers. And then it's been, you know, maybe not as much fun building it, but really important to build all that functionality into the mix. And our team's done a great job with it.
It'll all be worth it. Well, Michelle, this was so fantastic. Thank you for being here again. It was great.
Thank you, Jill. Thanks so much for having me. It was great to talk to you about all things Lilly Pulitzer.
That's all for this episode. Our theme music is by Otis McDonald. If you liked this episode, be sure to share it with someone else you think would. Thanks for listening to The Glossy Podcast.